Hey guys, welcome to episode 8 of The Slab.
Oh no.
It's a Jim and a Chels.
But it's strange because at the same time, this is the most prepared we've ever been, like, with our physical presence.
In some way, we should explain what's happened today.
We're making up for that time we recorded on lavalier mics in an echoey office.
Oh, the audio quality today is going to be absolutely flawless. The content itself...
Having a coffee.
Might be questionable.
Well, wait, Jim, what? We've just had a
few.
Research,
there's
Jimmy.
Just been a few logistical issues to get us to this point.
Never asked Chels to meet you somewhere that she hasn't been before.
We put the studio from 1 p.m. It's now 3:04.
Yeah, but I was here at least 20 minutes ago. That's your fault. You needed a wee. Oh, Jim needs a wee again. Stop, everybody. Jim needs
right,
a wee.
Right, so it's my fault for having a little wee. That's fine, though. We're ready to crack on.
The size of the wee is irrelevant, Jim. It's the intent.
It was a big wee, though.
Oh.
It was a big wee. It was a really good wee.
You love a wee.
Well, I don't mind one.
Should we move on from wee?
We can do.
Or is there more?
I don't have much wee-based material.
Written? Yeah, okay. Skip on.
Episode 8 of The Slab. We've done a vampire.
Already?
We've done a ghost doll. We've done a werewolf. We've done a witch. What else is there to do? Poltergeist.
Oh, I didn't know if you were asking me or...
No, that was rhetorical.
It was rhetorical.
You can answer.
Well, it's too late now.
Poltergeist is what we're doing today.
Cheating.
The most passive-aggressive phenomenon of the spirit world, I would say. If you ever shared a flat with someone who labels their milk or like leaves post-it notes on the washing up saying, clean me, these are the people who die to then go on to become poltergeists, I would say.
I don't know when I'm allowed to talk.
You can talk now.
Okay. I've previously described them as like...
God. You really
got that That's fucking synergy going, Jim.
That's the most awkward change that we've ever had in those 5 years of knowing each other.
Well, because I didn't want to interrupt any comedic moments you had planned. So I was like, this is Jim's time. I'm going to let him do his comedy
don't
intro.
Don't reveal that I planned that.
Sorry.
I'm going to do it in a more natural way.
No, it's fine.
If you've ever shared a flat... No,
don't
it's
do
not.
It again. Do some like fake slides. If you've ever shared a house or a flat, I've been watching the vloggers. I know how to do, not the vloggers. Who's a vlogger but with talent? One of those.
Comedians. An actor?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If you flub whilst acting, it's very sort of. Flub? I'm Jesse Eisenberg and I know how to act.
Fluff.
Flub.
Flub isn't one, is it?
A flub's a one.
I thought it was a fluff.
Yeah, I mean, you can fluff it. Or flub.
What's the difference between a flub and a fluff?
The letter on the end.
Well, that was a flub.
What? Oh, do you think there's a specific difference?
The beginning of the podcast was a flub.
There's no hugely successful movie called Fluffer.
Oh, no. Very good.
Yeah.
So but I'm, there is one called Flubber.
There is. That's why I said that.
Should we start again? Or?
I was going to say that Poltergeist, this is how I described them previously in our hit video series, as they would have Asbos.
Yeah, they're if any ghost's going to have an Asbo.
I'm sweating.
Let's just have a moment.
We don't need a moment, Jim. Crack on.
Anyway, this is a story about one of the most famous British ghosts, the Enfield Poltergeist. Now.
Do you want to have like a signal? Because again, there was a pause and I was like, how long's the pause going to be?
When I do that.
All right. What?
Okay, I won't do that. When I do that.
Yeah. Do a finger click at me.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention that I live in Enfield?
Chels lives in Enfield.
I might not.
Do you?
I don't know. I might live in Haringey.
The borough of Enfield.
Yeah. Is there
there's a place called Enfield Town as well.
Oh, I don't live in Enfield Town.
Enfield.
I imagine that's how they speak there. I live in the borough. Actually, I live very close. I don't know if it's Haringey, but there's like the sign that says you are now entering. It's very close to my house, but I don't know which side of the side Enfield is and which side Haringey is.
You are now entering Chels.
No one said that for many years. And I'm fine with that.
It all began in August 1977 in Brimsdown in Enfield, a place as dour and ordinary as the name suggests, a bristle of brown pebble-dash council houses just north of London. Quiet, uneventful, normal. Nobody could know that 284 Green Street, home to Peggy Hodgson and her two daughters, Janet, 11, and Margaret, 14, would become the setting for the most famous haunting in British history. What do you think about that?
I was going to say that this place sounds like a sort of Zaffle version of Privet Drive.
Yeah.
It's very budget.
Yeah.
But there's still people looking out the curtains.
Well, the house actually is still there. So if you want to have a look at 284 Green Street, you can just Google Maps that.
I could pop round.
Do a little street view. You could pop round.
I've heard of Green Lanes. They're very close to me.
Yeah.
I think my estate agent lives on Green Lanes.
This is like a more streety version.
Should we do the next podcast on like London geographical locations? My estate agent's on Green Lanes.
Well, we might have to. We're running out of ghost stories quick.
I mean, if you were to say to me, name a very famous British ghost, I'd probably just go for some sort of royal in an old manor somewhere. Like you go to like Holborn. Is it Holborn? It is Holborn.
Holborn?
It's not Holborn. Holkham. It's difficult. Again, London places aren't manors always.
No.
Holborn. Wait, which one is it? Holcombe and Blickling Hall. Or two halls.
They could be made up.
Sometimes there's ghosts in halls.
It's a really good way of making that point. No, it's true. There are sometimes ghosts in halls. This isn't a hall. This is a house. Very ordinary house.
Should we get Karen in to be my part? Guys, Karen's outside.
It's a normal evening. The smell of Finder's crispy pancakes hangs in the air. The telly in its enormous walnut veneer casing is showing Jimmy Savile touch kids with his wit and charisma. And also literally with his hands. The whole house is patterned. The walls, the clothes, the furniture. It's essentially one massive mustard and brown magic eye in flares. That was the 70s. Single mum Peggy goes upstairs to reprimand Janet and Margaret, who are making a god-awful din. As she makes her way through the small council house, she wonders what the racket's all about. Oh, probably fighting over a pull-out poster of David Cassidy or a bit of asbestos, she thinks. When she enters their room, she's startled by a loud shuffling sound and a chest of drawers moving slowly towards the door. In a panic, she orders the kids downstairs and tries to push the chest of drawers back. Unable to hold the dastardly dresser back, she too rushes downstairs, terrified and, one can only assume, pretty bloody confused by the whole thing. So just to recap there, Chels.
Yeah? Finder's crispy pancakes was my main takeaway. Hey, my main takeaway.
I actually Googled to check whether they had them in the 70s, just so that was a historically accurate remark.
Course.
And they did.
Wow, congratulations.
I love a Finder's crispy pancake.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Oh my God, Chels, they're the best.
No,
fucking
actually,
hell.
I have. And I don't think you do like them because the texture of the outside compared to the slime of the interior is absolutely revolting.
Chels, you're confusing, once again, things you like with things I like.
No, they're the same. The quicker you learn that, the better our future together will
that
be.
That was one of my all-time favourite childhood dinners, the Finder's crispy pancake.
Right, stack rank.
Mm.
Dinosaurs.
Okay.
Turkey dinosaurs, up or down?
I'd say up from turkey dinosaurs.
Ooh.
Down from a chicken dipper.
Yeah, sure.
Down from a potato waffle. Although, ooh, hey, it wasn't abnormal for me to have a potato waffle with a Finger's crispy pancake.
I was going to say, you're comparing apples and oranges there. Well, you're comparing pancakes and waffles. Hey, breakfast foods. Do you think if chicken dippers were turkey dippers...
Mm.
You would still rate them above. Do you think it's the dinosaur shape or the fowl?
Great question, Chels. Thanks for asking.
Thanks for the support.
Well, I don't think there's much in it between turkey and chicken. I don't like breadcrumb particularly. I prefer a batter to a breadcrumb.
Why don't you get turkey nuggets?
No, I don't know.
Not you. I mean, like, in general.
No, I know.
Is it because turkeys are harder to mass produce?
I don't know. They're bigger.
Again.
Take up more room.
Again, turkeys...
Yeah.
Are they just men?
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Is a turkey a cockerel? No, I'm thinking of cockerels.
No, turkey... Well, actually, I was going to get onto this later, but we had an email about this.
Oh, yeah.
Shall I bring this up now? Is that going to... No,
we can do emails at the end.
Park that thought. We'll come back to that at the end.
All right. Okay. I know that you logged into our emails because I got a little notification saying a new device has logged into your emails. I'm like, has Jim never logged into it? We've had this email account for like 5 years. A new device.
My MacBook that I got in 2012. So the chest of drawers.
I'm also imagining like, what's it called? An anthropomorphic chest of drawers at this time.
Oh, like Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
It's just waddling forward.
What is it, Beauty and the Beast? Or is it, Beauty and the Beast, exactly. But I didn't want to reference Beauty and the Beast because I feel like I have done in every single podcast so far.
Well, that's because it relates to most things in life, including ghost stories.
Maybe that's like our little theme thing. What's it called? I've forgotten all tableau. Descriptive words.
Motif.
Motif. Yeah. Maybe Beauty and the Beast is our motif.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe. Don't look at my drawers.
Oh.
I think I'd be really great at playing that in a pantomime.
What, the drawers?
The giant chest of the giant wardrobe lady.
She's oh, yeah, sort you of were like born to play that part.
The bosomy, like, mistress of pantomime, isn't she?
Mm.
What's that called in a normal pantomime?
Dame?
Yeah.
So, Peggy goes next door to get the help of Vic Nottingham, who's a builder. And actually, I've got... what?
This is the most made-up story of all time. Vic Nottingham.
That, well, wait until some of the names... So you've got Peggy Hodgson. Peggy Hodgson is the most normal name in this thing, and that sounds made up. So I've got a little... Is this going to work?
Is it a diagram?
No, I've just got a little bit of audio. So this is Vic Nottingham.
I've been sitting listening to the knocking, and the woman next door, she called me in. We couldn't make out what it was. I heard the knocking as I walked in the front door, but I went all over the house, checked it, checked the walls, checked everything. Just couldn't make out what it was, so... In the end, I thought to myself, well, there's only one thing. I'll call the police.
Vic Nottingham calls the police. He's looking everywhere for the knocking. Can't find it.
He did. I checked the house. I checked the walls. Mm. I checked everywhere. Said the same thing thrice, essentially.
Where else is there to check, though, Charles?
If you went to look in a house and you didn't find anything and you had actually checked everywhere, and I don't trust Vic. I reckon he was somewhat lazy.
Hey, don't. I think Vic looks very trustworthy.
Sure, but was he like, oh, I'm going to look under the bed? Do you know, like, did he go in every cupboard? You know that Asian lady that lived in that apartment that for like 2 years, and that guy was like, oh, I set up a camera because the stuff in my fridge was going missing.
Mm.
Then in the middle of the night, just like that thing that looks like the ring crawls out from like his crawl space, and it's just been a woman living secretly in his apartment.
Oh my God.
Did he look there?
I don't know if he looked in that Asian lady's apartment, but then I don't fully understand the question.
What I'm saying is, separately, if you went into a house and I was like, Jim, I've got some weird noises in my house, I'm scared, and then you came around, you looked everywhere, found nothing, would you A, call the police, or B, go, no, Charles, it's nothing?
Well, I'd be, if the noise was still going on, well, I don't think it's really a police matter, but then it was a different time in the 70s, wasn't it? I feel like there was less crime. So you'd call your local policeman round, I've got some knocking in the wall, and they'd spend a good afternoon round there.
Yeah, you make him a tea, you'll give him a bicky.
Yeah. He'd probably, like, gossip about something. Yeah. Probably be a bit racist. That was the state of the police in the 70s.
It was fine then.
Mm.
No, I mean, like, other people saw it as fine then.
Mm.
Not
different
that it
time.
Was fine. But,
different
like, if
time.
Someone was racist, you wouldn't remark about it.
Anyway, he's called the police, and the police reported 4 distinct taps on the wall. And this is a quote. I then saw a chair slide across the floor. It moved 3 to 4 feet, then came to rest. This is the police. This is in an official police document.
This is the
seen
hot fuzz.
A chair move 3 to 4 foot. How do you explain that?
Was someone pushing it?
No.
Because he doesn't say they weren't.
Right.
This could all be just like a trick of words.
Because
I said, Jim, I went home last night and this bottle of milk just moved from my fridge to the table, that it poured it into the coffee, and then it went back into the fridge.
Were you holding it?
Yeah, I was holding it, Jim. Like, is anyone asking that question?
They didn't say it wasn't attached to a string. They didn't say that there wasn't a child underneath there pushing it.
Or but maybe it was a child dressed as a chair.
I mean, I would have thought that would be key to the report. So I'd expect them to put that in, but they're within their rights to not.
I don't really know. I don't know enough about police about, like, when you describe something, it's very easy to describe it as a lie.
Mm. I would think that goes against what the police would do.
Because I could be like, I weigh 8 stone, which is true, but also some more stone. You know? Like, it's easy to trick with words.
It is easy to trick with words. That's one thing that we want you to take away from this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Suspect
Never
everyone.
Trust words, especially not ones from the police, okay? Especially not from police in the 70s.
Oh, gosh, no.
No. Anyway, the following evening... Oh, no, I should say the police said it's not a police matter. So despite observing a chair seemingly moved by itself 4 foot across a room, they're like, yeah, lads, you just deal with that. We're not getting involved. See you later. We're going to pop off now.
So they weren't even intrigued on a personal level?
Nah, they just left. Never mentioned again. Mm. Never mentioned again.
If I was police and it wasn't my job, I'd still, like, do that extracurricular, you know. I'd be there at maybe 8 p.m.
You'd give him a ring, wouldn't you?
But I'll pop round.
Is that chair still moving about?
What happens if you sit on it?
That'd be quite fun, actually. Be good if it was like one of those massage chairs. In my hairdresser, they turn it, there's like a thing and you get a massage in your back on the chair.
Maybe that was an early version.
Most people are familiar with the concept of a massage chair.
The clues in the title with that one. Yeah, but what they could have just had an entrepreneurial spirit about it, an entrepreneurial poltergeist about it. Just come round, sit in the chair, go for a ride.
Oh, yeah.
Safety not guaranteed.
Well, that's part of the fun, isn't it?
It is part of the fun.
So what else do they do? They call in a man from the Society of Psychical Research, which I'm going to say now isn't a thing and never has been a thing.
Is it research into psychics or research
into... It's research into psychics. Or is it research done by psychics?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I think it's research done into psychics. And this man called Maurice Gross turned up. I told you the names were going to get better. And this guy, right, looks made up. He wouldn't look more made up if he was a cartoon. He's got the handlebar moustache. He's got a tweed suit. He's got thick glasses. He's got a bald head with a rim of hair around it like a monk. And he showed up and decided to record this phenomenon. So there's loads and loads of tapes, not videotapes, which is handy, just cassettes. And he first, the first recording he did, he witnessed lamps being thrown across the room and some general panic. That's what he said. General panic. The worst kind of panic. If you're going to panic about something, be specific.
Slightly better than miscellaneous panic.
It's one up from miscellaneous panic. An assortment of panic is the worst.
Why do we think that all monks have a strip of hair around the middle? Do they shave the top?
Yeah.
Just the top?
I think so.
No. They either shave the whole thing or nothing. There's no, like, we'll just shave, like, a dew cap out of the top.
Also, I know a lot about male pattern baldness.
Yeah, you research that frequently.
Yeah, because of, you know, just worries about the future. Yeah. And you don't really go bald just in the middle of your head. That doesn't happen. Like, you go, it goes back, or it's the, so it goes from the forehead and makes its way back towards the neck.
Mm.
Or it starts at the sort of base of the head. So not on top, where a monk's bald, but at the back of the skull.
But if it went from the front to the back, it would at one point during that stage miss the side.
They have fair hair around the front, though, don't they? They've got a little fringe.
What? Am I... Do you think monks have fringes? Have you ever seen a fringe on a bald man?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's weird that monks have...
They don't.
Yes.
What are you talking
Chelsea,
about?
I'm about to show you
if
an
you
image.
If you show me something from Monty Python,
no.
I'm going to discredit it immediately.
I'm going to show you a historical image right now.
From Monty Python, which was filmed in the past.
No. What's that? Explain that.
That's a painting!
Yeah.
That's not a photograph. That's a sweatband.
That's not a sweatband.
It's a sweatband made
of
straw.
That's a hair circle.
It's a... Jim, you can't show me a painting and say, look...
Okay,
this...
exhibit B.
Jim, that's a drawing!
Yeah, but they didn't have photos of monks
are
about.
They have saved that, though. Because they're young.
When you type in monk haircut, that's what comes up. Exhibit C.
Stop showing me paintings!
How many exhibits do you want?
I want one that's not a painting.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking.
All right. Here you go.
Don't get a drawing.
There you go.
That's a wig, Jimmy.
There are no monks. There's no modern day monks.
What about that monk? What about the one that burned himself? Because
that's a different kind of monk, though. That's a Buddhist monk. These are church Catholic monks.
Church monks.
Yes.
He's a
church, like a church
monk.
Mouse. Oh, there.
Imagine if church mice had little fringes and bald heads. I've been thinking about getting a ferret.
Oh, they're still monks in England.
Why specifically England? Can you get a US monk?
Yeah, in Cornwall and Northern Scotland. Can you get a US monk? I don't think so.
The most southerly and northerly points.
Mm.
Interesting.
Well, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure what lot it says, but it says a lot. Leave that for the audience to work out.
So monks just have a little... Maybe it's so that God can get messages through their skull easier. without the insulation of the hair.
I can't, like, I was going to say that sounds stupid, but what possible other thing could it be? Maybe it's just easier to get a hat on.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Shall I Google it?
Why do monks
have
a bald
head? Is this going to spoil the...
Oh, I don't know what it's spoiling.
Why do monks have hair?
I'm going to get a chocolate biscuit.
Tonsure.
Oh, yeah?
Is the practice of cutting or shaving some of the hair on the scalp as a sign of religious devotion or humility.
That doesn't help. We knew it was a sign of a monk.
History and development.
Is it just the same as like doing a sacrifice?
Leviticus 19:27. Oh, do not like Leviticus. He says do it, basically.
Sort of like, to be honest, they're getting off quite light. Like, Abraham had to kill a son. These guys go, oh, no, he doesn't want sons anymore. He just wants a few follicles. that's like a convenient lie that they've spun.
Can we not shave all their hair off the scalp? No. Just the middle bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you've got to be able to cover it.
It'll look better, though, if we shave it all off, though, won't it? No, just the middle bit. You've got to stitch the middle bit.
Maybe it's to help with the abstinence.
Do you think, like, if... yeah, because no one wants to fuck a weird-headed... person.
Well, if you are a weird-headed person, you're listening to this.
I'm sure you'll find love. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to hair shame.
Head shame.
Head shame. Do you think if Justin Bieber did that, like, kids would start doing it?
Justin Bieber's not relevant in 2018.
All right, Jacob Sartorius started doing that.
Jacob Sartorius, is it? Troy's back. Who's a young man? Is Harry still around? He had that new video where he flew.
Justin Bieber.
Jojo.
Jojo? Jojo?
I watched a Shane Dawson video yesterday and she was in it.
Jojo from like the 90s?
No! Jojo, she's only 12. She couldn't have been around in the 90s.
There was a Jojo when we were growing up who had that song.
Oh, yeah.
That song.
You're just going to get new Jojo if you Google Jojo.
Yeah. Boomerang, that's not what I was thinking of. Not interesting. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Monks.
Enfield Poltergeist.
Yeah. You meant further back than that.
This is that psychic man.
Yeah.
He also recorded curious whistling and barking noises coming from Janet's general direction.
Wait, was Janet one of the girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Was it Janet?
So, this is... I don't know what this is. I'm just what this is a YouTube video. So this is Morris anyway.
It was in the same bedroom a month later with all the family present that Morris Gross first challenged the poltergeist to talk.
And this was actually the result. You'll hear the whistling first of all and then the barking.
And here is this noise.
It's not that impressive, this bit. Oh.
I didn't hear the whistling. Oh. He got those the wrong way round.
Yeah.
The barking here is quite extraordinary, actually.
That's whistling. This man doesn't know what he's talking about.
I then said to it,
I then, as I said on the tape here, I then said to it, if you can whistle and bark and groan, then you can talk. And I asked it to actually say my name.
Oh, just a minute. I'll try again. I want you to call out my name, my complete name, Morris Gross. See if you can do that.
That sounds so much like a person going, how the fuck am I going to pull this off as though I'm also barking? Also, like, can I just say, like, whilst Morris clearly doesn't know what he's talking about and doesn't know the difference between a bark and a whistle, I was very impressed at how he managed to vocally discern the difference between him saying, hear, hear. Because he was saying both of them, but I could tell which one was which. He managed to, like, have some sort of intonation. You'll hear, hear. No, I was very impressed by that.
You'll hear, hear.
Yeah.
That's hard, isn't it?
It is, but he did a great job.
Okay, Charles, try and guess whether I'm saying here or here.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
The sound one.
No, that was here. See, that's good,
actually.
That's a skill.
I
do it again,
I knew. It was because I was looking at you and you confused me.
Okay, all right.
I've got my eyes closed for the listeners.
Here.
It's hard. Why are you pointing to your ear when I open my eyes? Why did you have to do that?
You weren't supposed to see that.
What? Who was that for?
Just so that I could say it, like, here.
Oh.
So that I said it in the correct... You try it on me.
All right. Here.
Here in this room.
No, here is in Oh. Well done, Morris. That's all we've concluded.
Terrible psychic investigator.
But could be an orator.
Yeah.
Or is it an orator?
Great diction.
Is
either
it
works.
Okay.
Cool. Either works.
So what do you think of that barking then?
Give me a day and I'll come back to you with a tape of barking.
The thing is, with the 70s, they didn't have video cameras, seemingly.
What's he filming that on then? It's a video of him listening to a cassette.
Good point. That's a great, that's a great point, actually. And thought of that.
Yeah.
Although, as I'll go on to say, when the Daily Mirror photographer Graham Morris visited the house, he said it was chaos. Things started flying around. People were screaming. Some of the events were captured on camera, and the images are disturbing. One shows Jarrett's elfin form apparently being thrown across the room. The BBC went to the house, but the crew found that the metal components in their tape equipment had been twisted and recordings erased.
Why is no one talking about the fact that Jarrett is an elf?
Janet?
Janet is an elf.
Jared, do you...
Yeah. Why is no one talking about that? Like, focus on that. Because even if it is a poltergeist, you know what's more interesting than just ghosts, which are people that have died? Elves.
They should have really mentioned that. Yeah. Janet.
Yes.
Very sensitive to ghosts. Also a fucking elf.
Fucking turn around Margaret Snuffleupagus in the background. Oh, yeah. And she's a Muppet. It's like the whole cast come out. Jim Henson's in the background. Hi, guys.
Oh, but what about these poltergeists have been having? It's weird, isn't it? Do you want to see Janet?
Yeah.
Because Janet's got a tendency to talk...
The elf, Janet.
The elf, Janet, with like a weird sort of exorcist voice, which I always find really creepy because kids are creepy. Here we go.
You've had a good time. Now please go away.
Hang on.
600 the voices.
I know the joke.
How many really are there, Margaret?
I think so far we've had 10. Sensible voices.
So we're saying that Janet was barking?
The rest of the names are absolutely rubbish.
That's her sister. So that's Janet there.
So it was Janet barking the whole time?
Janet's barking.
Was he saying that the barking was coming from Janet?
You, again, don't trust words.
Well, don't you show me some... Let me hear some barking whilst I'm watching you from the 70s on video tape listen to some barking, and then cut to a fucking video of Janet barking in the same exact voice as the bark.
Yeah, because she's possessed by a demon.
Tell you what, if you want to listen to some actual scary kid possessed thing, you know that was that girl that actually had like schizophrenia or something and she thought she was possessed, there's all these videos of her. I don't know if her name was like Rachel. They're on YouTube and she's sort of like screaming in this like very exorcist
way. Oh, I don't like that.
It's terrifying. Turn all the lights off and put that on it. That's the only time
I don't want to. Why would I do that?
Well, because you might want to feel fear, and it's the only time as an adult that I've actually felt like I'm like the same as I felt watching horror stories as kids, was turning all the lights off, sitting in my kitchen because that's where there's no windows and it could be perfectly dark, and listening to this really loud audio of this girl that thinks like she's possessed, but I think it's just...
Chelsea, we need to get you some better hobbies.
I wasn't alone, Jimmy. A friend was round.
Okay.
And they didn't regret it, and they came back.
Who was the friend?
Well, I was Ryan, so he did come back, but it's better if we have a narrative where I'm just like that to regular people and just alienate everyone in my life.
Come and listen to this. Turn the lights off. So the voices have got names. Janet experienced Dirty Dick. Andrew Gardner, and my favourite, Stuart Certain.
I went to school with Andrew Gardner.
Did you?
And he knew Janet.
What's
he never
doing
mentioned
possessing
it?
Janet? Get out of Janet's body. In one of the recordings, in a husky male voice, she said, "Just before I died, I went blind." I don't know why I'm doing it like a dog.
You're doing it like Janet. Can I just clarify for everyone who might not have caught up? Janet isn't an elf.
Oh, Janet's just a child, just a 70s looking child. As in, she's from the 70s. She doesn't look like she's
she
in her 70s.
She hasn't got progeria.
I'm not going to do the voice. Should I do the voice?
Yeah.
Just before I died,
I went blind, and then I had an hemorrhage, and I fell asleep and I died in the chair in the corner downstairs.
Now, the son of the man who lived in the house previously got in touch and corroborated this. The man was called Bill Wilkins.
How did he hear about it?
It was in the press.
Oh.
So many believe that actually the voice is that of Bill Wilkins talking through Janet.
Do you know what?
What do you think of that?
I think that I can research someone that died in my house a long time ago and then I can do a voice.
With the internet? Not in the 70s.
They had newspapers. You just proved that. If he could hear about a girl saying a voice somewhere, then she could hear about a man dying somewhere.
But that wouldn't be news though, would it?
What?
Someone dying in a chair wouldn't be newspaper news.
Have you heard about a little thing called the obituaries, Jim?
Janet is 11 years old. She's not sitting there.
Yeah, but...
She doesn't seem particularly bright, bless her. She's not sat there going through the obituaries of a newspaper. Also, they don't say... It wouldn't say in the obituary he died in his chair of a brain hemorrhage.
No, well, you know, I don't know.
I do.
You read 70s obituaries.
No, but I've read present day obituaries.
Yeah, but they might have changed because of, like, common decency and things like that that they didn't have back then. Also...
Chels, sometimes I feel like you don't want to believe that there was a poltergeist.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to make it interesting and a bit spooky by going, oh, there's a haunted girl. Or go, she just knows about that and she's pretending.
But how... I'm being genuine here. How would she have found out? I don't think that
would
have
been... You
don't
think she's smart, but she's...
And this was years before, so she'd have had to find an archived newspaper somewhere.
But she's still doing this whole, like, bit, right? She's like, oh, I'm possessed. So, but you say she's not smart, but she's smart enough to, like, keep up with this facade.
But, I mean, it's not particularly complex. Like, if it is, if she is faking it...
As a kid, I mean. Like, an adult could keep it up.
This all happened only 3 years after The Exorcist came out, which was...
Oh, that's convenient.
...the biggest film in the world.
So that's how... So she got inspired and was like, oh, I know what it sounds like to be possessed.
Yeah.
I've seen The Exorcist.
Potentially.
It's better than going like Jamie Bulger.
But I still don't know where she would have found that information from.
I don't know.
And you don't either, Chels. Be honest with me.
Jim, I don't know anything about this story. But I'm just saying, if you want a ghost and a haunted girl, I can give you one and it can be me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that'd be a good persona for you.
Being haunted?
Yeah. Being possessed.
All right.
Most of the activity was focused around 11-year-old Janet, who later told Channel 4, I felt used by a force that nobody understands. I really don't like to think about it too much. I'm not sure the poltergeist was truly evil. It was almost as if it wanted to be part of our family. It didn't want to hurt us. It had died there and wanted to be at rest. The only way it could communicate was through me and my sister.
Why? What's it got to say, though?
No. It's a lot of that, wasn't it?
Chels, you heard the tapes.
Clearly, it hated the way the furniture had been arranged in the house since he died. That would be annoying, though, if you've lived in a house all your life and then you see someone else move in and they've redecorated and maybe they've got a terrible sofa and maybe... You've put a lot of effort into the feng shui of the room and they've just completely messed it up. You would probably start chucking chest of drawers around.
I don't... I mean, maybe this says a lot about me, which I don't want people to know, but I think if I died and I left behind a really nice home, I'd be annoyed if people benefited from that. So I'm like, yeah, fuck it up with your shit ideas. So
right.
Maybe I'd, like, move my own furniture around so they couldn't have my lovely furniture that I'd, like, planned.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Either way, if you're annoyed about being dead, which a lot of people are.
Yeah, potentially.
And you see people living in your house, maybe you are going to be annoyed and just want to just make things difficult for them.
Also, I think that's interesting, the idea of us being tied to a specific area of land, like a house. Like, once you're dead, would something such as a house have the same... pull as it does when you're alive? Like, it doesn't really mean anything. And if it's like, yeah, but you bought the house, like a lease for a house, like the land lease is only like 120 years or whatever. Like, it's not yours after a certain amount of time anyway, legally. What's the deal there? Is it like 1,000 years? I don't know, whatever. But why would a ghost care about a house is my point.
Well, I get nostalgic about places I lived. I was really sad when I moved out of my last flat and I was like, oh, I don't want new people to live here. It's mine.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's where you have lots of experiences and memories.
Sure.
And you put your own spin on it as well. So in my current flat, obviously I've totally done it up and I think it looks really nice. I would be a bit gutted if somebody came in and put like disgusting wallpaper on the wall and ripped out the nice wood floor that I've put down and all of that stuff.
I get it, but you're coming at this from like a flatlands perspective, right? You're coming at this from the realm of three dimensions in this situation, but there's a fourth and it's suddenly you're dead and you live forever and the whole universe is expanded and it's like, oh, my house doesn't matter. There's this whole other fucking thing.
That is a good point, Chels.
Yeah.
Also, I'd be like, do you know what? I've got bigger fish to fry. I'm not going to make these people's life difficult just for the sake of it, just because they happen to be alive in my house and I'm annoyed about being dead. But then I'm not an arsehole. Maybe Bill was just horrible.
I mean...
And
don't
grumpy.
Don't talk bad about the dead.
Hey, especially if he's got the ability to poltergeist people.
Poltergeist people,
this
yeah.
This is purely theoretical.
Also...
Maybe he's just a bit of a dick and just... wanted to be a dick.
It's depressing to think that you do die and you become part of the universe and live forever, but still just have your puny, shitty human brain thoughts. Like, if I'm going to live forever, I want suddenly the knowledge of the universe.
I wouldn't have put that chest of drawers there.
Yeah, like, you don't think that. I'm thinking in, like, not. I'm thinking in maths, but as a language at that point. Mm. Like, I'm seeing eight dimensions.
I think you're going to be disappointed with the afterlife, Chels, if that's what you're thinking.
Well, I mean, I'd be happy for... Honestly, God, I'd be happy for anything. But I would like to think in numbers, if that's an option.
Maybe you should shave the hair off your scalp.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to score points with the big guy, because he's into that.
That's only men, though. He prefers them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I've been watching The Good Place.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched that?
No.
It's not the best, but it's like a fun concept. They just go to a nice place, right? And not without spoilers, let's just go to the bare bones of it. They just go to a nice place forever and it's like perfect, right? It's like, oh, there's a free yogurt. And that's like the theme. That's not me suggesting that. And I'm like, even if this was perfect and you're meant to live with your soulmate, that you don't want to live with your soulmate and have yogurt forever.
Not forever, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. That's why the whole concept's flawed for me.
Yeah.
If you're anywhere forever, that would, after 10,000 years, become torture.
Yeah. Even if it was a million dogs.
But then, mate, as you say, maybe you access some plane that we can't even imagine as humans.
Maybe even that, but even if you knew everything, maybe knowing everything would be terrible because you wouldn't have anything to learn.
And that is when you start throwing furniture around in a council house in Enfield.
He knew everything. Sick of that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the bare minimum.
I'm going to throw Lego at Dirty Dick. No, Dirty Dick's here. I don't know who Dirty Dick is.
It's Janet.
Janet. So things were all... She's also levitating at this point.
Oh, yeah, of course.
She's levitating.
How's she pulling
There's
that
photos
one off?
Of that as well. Her face distorted in pain.
Is it like how they levitated in the play of The Exorcist, though, where her feet were conveniently still under the duvet?
Well, I'll be honest, the way it seemed to work, looking at the photos, is she would jump off the bed.
She's
and
jumping.
They'd get a still photo of that as she's jumping.
Right.
I think that's kind of how it works. The next door neighbour stopped coming round. He got hit by Lego on the arm, and this is a quote, brought up a bump.
Lego?
Lego.
How much Lego? Which piece?
One bit of Lego. Yeah, that's going to be thrown with some force if that's bringing up a bump, isn't it?
You can't even throw Lego with force. Wait. If you shot something out of a gun which wasn't hard, would it still hurt?
Yeah.
Is it the speed and velocity, or is it the... What if I
like
shot...
Like rubber bullets.
What? Yeah, rubber... Yeah, that's hard, though. What if I shot, like, a magician's red ball that turns into four balls?
No, because it's got...
I could have
What's
described that,
word?
As, like, what? Foam. Why? Or sponge. Instead, you know, magician's balls as four balls.
So you're shooting magician's balls out of a gun.
Yeah. Does that hurt?
No, because there's such a thing as... What is it called? Ultimate velocity or something.
Yeah.
Maximum velocity.
Yeah.
So a material can only go so fast before it slows
That's
down.
That's not the point.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly the point.
No, it's not.
Is it?
No, that would be like, would you fall faster if you fell forever? No, you'd just end up at maximum.
Yeah, that's what that is.
But if you
shooting it out of a gun,
a sponge out of a gun, at whatever speed a gun shoots at, and it hit you, so you can be standing like right in front of it, would that hurt? Or is the fact that, because obviously there's like other things,
I
like
would have
friction
thought
of the air.
Because you'd need something to project it out, wouldn't you? You'd need an explosion.
But once it's on its
the force
own.
Force of that hitting the air because it's soft.
Ignore the explosion.
No, the force of
but
the...
But now you're like thinking about
the force
air.
Of the magician's ball hitting the air.
No, but ignore the air
what,
bit.
So we're doing it in a vacuum?
You don't... The bit that hurts you when a bullet hits you isn't the air from the explosion. It's
I'm
the
getting
bullet
to that
you.
Bit. So the bullet's leaving the gun.
Yeah.
Whatever force... 1,000 mile... Per, it's not that, is it?
No,
700 miles per hour?
I think it's 700, hour. Actually. Is it 700? Because I thought it was.
That feels like a good number.
It is.
But it's hitting the air as it's leaving the barrel of the gun, and that's causing it to destruct itself and not move. Huh?
The gun's irrelevant. I just want to point out
the gun
gun's
not irrelevant.
Is, the mechanics behind it, how a bullet gets shot out of a gun, is irrelevant. It's, a magician's ball's going at 700
Stop
miles
talking
an hour.
About a magician's
and
balls.
You walk in... You walk into a sponge at 700 miles per hour. Does it hurt? That's the question. How it got to that speed is irrelevant.
You're now going into the sponge. So you're...
No, you're walking and the sponge hits you at 700 miles, miles an hour. Hour. It's just on its way. It's late for a meeting. The sponge...
I don't think you could get a sponge up to 700
oh
miles
Oh, my
per
God.
Hour.
Don't get it. It's a thought experiment, Jim. It's not logistical. We're not Mythbusters. We're not going to go and do this. We should do this.
How big's the sponge?
Is that relevant again? Because you're going to go, oh, but the air friction.
I think it... Well, would you try it?
What?
Getting hit by a 700 mile per hour sponge.
No, because I have no concept in my brain of whether or not it will feel like nothing or feel like something. I don't know.
I think it would be very painful.
It's a sponge, though.
Yeah, but it's going 700 miles per hour. Anything going... at 700 miles per hour would hurt.
But it's weaker than your skin, is I think the thing. If you got hit by a string...
That doesn't mean anything.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
If you got hit by a string moving at 700
miles don't bring
miles
a string
an hour,
into it.
It would just go... into your skin.
No, it probably
you
cut
win.
You.
You win.
You don't.
Is it the thing that's moving that wins, or the thing that... does? Is it whether or not you're moving play a part in this?
For example...
Or is it just the hardness of you?
I'm trying to think of a good example.
If I was shot into a bullet, and it was a really big human-sized bullet, and I was shrunk to the size of a bullet, I would crumple on the bullet. I wouldn't shoot through the bullet. I think it's to do with how hard you are and not how fast you... The thing that's moving doesn't always win.
Yeah, no, it's about the speed of the thing.
Is well, so you think that the thing that's moving always wins?
Yeah.
If you swung a wrecking ball made of sponge at a wall, the wall wins.
Yeah,
the even though the wall is not moving,
yeah.
other than like the ground moving in the universe and stuff like that, which is very far.
Mm.
But which wins, speed or
but then
sturdity?
You could hit like a plastic bottle, for example.
Yeah,
not that hard. But if a plastic bottle hit you with force that was travelling quickly, that would hurt.
You've turned it into something that is solid, though. A sponge crumples.
Yeah, but it's soft, though.
It's not that soft. It's a plastic bottle would hurt if I just threw it at your face right now.
I don't know how we finished this discussion. I don't know the answer.
I want you to stop disagreeing with me.
I'm Googling foam bullet.
Well, bullet doesn't help. Again, because you're going to come back to the gun thing.
Would fast foam hurt? You
know, magician's balls.
Oh no.
No.
It's just an article of can your mattress kill you?
Oh no, I've got something else to worry about. Only if that's what I really want to pull down bed, but I'm really worried about it popping back up and getting trapped in like a cupboard.
Yeah, you could get trapped in that.
That's a common thing.
And go for weeks.
I don't know how common.
I don't know. So somebody got trapped in a clothes era and got killed.
Yeah.
That's really awful.
I spent a very, very long time trying to work out how the fuck you couldn't get out of a clothes
thing. We've spoken about
it
before, haven't we?
Yeah, potentially.
Well, it's really grim the way it's described. Essentially, as he or she was trying to free themselves from it, it was like getting worse.
Like a Chinese finger trap.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if they'd have just gone, instead of like fighting, just went, they would have just fell out of it.
I wish you could have seen what Chelsea has just done to demonstrate that.
Don't fight it and you'll get out. What's like an animal version of a Chinese finger trap?
Venus fly trap. No, that's just got trap in it.
Am I thinking of that thing in Harry Potter that they fall into? It's where, like, you struggle, it grabs you. Quicksand.
Yeah. Not an animal.
It's not. Good observation. You're right. Very similar, though. Animals could be near it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, the clothes dryer is sort of like...
Quicksand.
Clothes drying quicksand.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And on that note, this is a TBC one today. And I'm going to sum it up like this. You ready?
Yeah.
Things would get stranger in the house.
Uh-oh.
However, all was not as it seems, and the family, reporters and investigators would have to face some difficult questions about the legitimacy of the poltergeist.
Oh, I've got one. If foam hit you at 700 miles an hour.
So there we go. We'll do part two of this next week or the week after.
Yeah, one of those 2 weeks.
Yeah. Should we do some emails?
Yeah, let's do some emails, guys.
Let's do some emails.
Thank you so much to anyone who has possibly emailed jimandchels@gmail.com.
Chels, this is from Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Who says, hey, guys, I love the show so far. I'm currently training to be a vet, so if you've got any more animal questions, like are all cows girls, let me know. Chicken is the sexless way to refer to chickens. The hen is a girl and the cockerel is a boy. There we go. Also, would love it if you did some more witch episodes. Thanks, Kate.
We did get to that conclusion, I think, after an hour of arguing that chicken was the human.
So you have a question for Kate about turkeys.
I just want to... There's...
Turkey hen.
Actually, no, that's irrelevant. I just saw a tweet that I was interested in, but we can talk about that outside of the podcast. Hideo Kojima and Darren Aronofsky were together at E3. Maybe I'd love it if they worked on a movie together.
That's not relevant to turkeys, but interesting.
Kate, thank you so much for, one, emailing us, two, saying that you enjoy the podcast, and three, I believe that you're in our Discord.
Oh, love that.
In a different situation, what did you say I wanted to ask Kate about?
Turkeys. I can see you just looking at that tweet.
Turkeys, men or women, and why can't we mass produce them the way that we do chickens?
There's a lot knocking about at Christmas. They're much bigger.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Also, Kate, I don't know if this is a question for you as a vet. Is there a reason why turkeys can't make good nuggets?
Yeah, good question.
Are they not as nuggetable?
Also, Kate, if you were hit by foam at 700 miles an hour...
Okay.
Yeah, Kate, send us another email. Next podcast, we'll answer the turkey question at the end. Just keep people coming back. If they don't want to come back for the Enfield story, they might come back for the turkey nuggets.
Is turkey a nugget?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. And thanks to all of our patrons as well for your continued support.
Yeah, that's mental.
And we're going to be back next week with more.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Remember to email us. We're going to be doing a special email podcast just for our patrons. Yep, said it right. And we'll see you again. I got a text message.
jimandchels@gmail.com.
I thought you were going to say, Jim and Chels, over and out. But you did their email address.
I like that,
though. We should start that.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it?
Jim and Chels, over and... No, we'd have to do it together.
Oh,
But firstly, jimandchels@gmail.com, send us an email.
We should say Chels and Jim over and out because that's the name of us.
Yeah, but not chelsandjim@gmail.com.
No.
That isn't our email address.
chelsandjim@chelsandjim is Twitter.
Yeah.
Should we have to do this every podcast? We've fucked ourselves into a corner.
Jim and Chels.
Chels and
Jim. Over and out.
Hated that.
That was awful.